harking back. When trips to the local chippy were a cheap treat on a Friday, remembering the days when fish and chips were served in newspaper and always cooked in beef dripping. When I lived abroad for a while, there were many aspects of the UK that I missed. There were obvious things, such as having old buildings with a history dating back more than 200 years, looking forward to four distinct seasons each year rather than constant heat, and taking a country walk surrounded by wildlife less likely to kill me. But it was the simple pleasures that got me longing for home, not least eating fish and chips on the beach without sustaining severe sunburn. Yes, they still did eat fish and chips in Australia, but the fish was snapper and the chips were mostly frozen versions cooked in oil with a flavour I didn't like. So one of the first things I did upon my return home, despite it being a freezing cold January, was to go to the seaside and celebrate with a parcel of crispy battered cod and chunky, randomly shaped golden chips with a liberal shaking of salt. I forewent the optional extra of vinegar and chose to cast aside the wooden chip fork provided, instead using my fingers as I would have done in my youth. Not that fish and chips haven't changed over the years, mind you, from the way they are packaged to the oils in which they are cooked. Also gone are the days when it made for a cheap tea, with the price skyrocketing along with so many of life's adorable treats. Fish and chips, which some still considered to be the UK's national dish, originated in this country in the mid-19th century. Such was its value as a reasonably priced, nutritious meal, the British government safeguarded the supply of fish and chips during both the First and Second World Wars, and it escaped the rationing applied to so many popular foods. The irony is that the British tradition of eating fish battered and fried in oil was actually thought to have been introduced to the country by Spanish and Portuguese migrants. We can, however, lay claim to the idea of pairing the fish with a cheap filling staple of chipped potatoes. My mum recalls fish and chips when she was growing up in the 1940s. She said when we went to see our Nana on a Saturday night, we would go up the chippy and get chips for us kids. Then we'd eat them at her house. It was a treat we really looked forward to. The chip shop was owned by a grumpy old man who we called Mr. Fishy, and I was a bit afraid of him. But we were brave enough to ask him for scraps, the small crispy pieces of batter left in the fryer after the fish had been taken out. Mum also remembers the great excitement when a fish shop opened her home village. She added it was behind the post office. They had a sort of kitchen with a window where you placed the order, and then they slammed the window shut. You had to wait in an old lean-to. I always remember being put off because there was a spider floating in the vinegar. My own earliest encounter with fish and chips was at the seaside during a family holiday in the 1970s. I could just about reach the counter where the salt and vinegar were kept. I recall it being unbearably hot in the chip shop and consequently feeling very sorry for the people who worked there. I watched intently as the hot chips were shovelled into a waiting sheet of old newspaper before the cod was popped on top and the parcel tightly wrapped. Nowadays, fish and chips are more hygienically packaged in plain paper, with many being served in cardboard boxes or polystyrene trays instead. In the 70s, we would eat our purchases straight out of newspaper on the harbour wall, trying not to let the grease soak through the paper onto our clothing. As wildlife lovers, we kids also enjoyed sharing the odd chip or two with the gulls. And there is a black and white photograph here of three people working in a chip shop, two gentlemen and a lady.